We hear ethical, sustainable, responsible, and a lot of providers will use these to mean kind of different things. There's no real common definition. It's pretty clear that there are a lot of industries, there are a lot of activities that aren't going to be continuing the way that they have been. If you're seeing language that seems vague, if you can read something and you have to kind of guess where they're getting at, you know, you're not exactly sure. So something like you will see a lot, companies exclude fossil fuels, but that's very rarely going to mean that they've got zero fossil fuels at all in their investments.
Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. This week, we've partnered up with AMP, who's kindly lent us their expert, Kate Brownsey, a sustainable investment analyst, and we're talking about greenwashing and how to avoid being tricked by it, because frankly, nobody likes that. Making Sense is proud to partner with AMP, making a difference for you and future generations. Visit amp.co.nz today. Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by KiwiBank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Kate, I don't know about you. I get really mad when I feel like a company is trying to pull a bit of a fast one on me. How much greenwashing is actually around?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say there's a lot. I mean, in the market, you know, we hear ethical, sustainable, responsible, and a lot of providers will use these to mean kind of different things. There's no real common definition. So it's no wonder that we're all really confused and skeptical as well.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? Because I think it's hard enough for the average person to dive into a company's numbers. I get enough questions of people just trying to make standard investing decisions and figuring out if a company is a good bet or not. Then you add in trying to be sustainable. Then you add in that a lot of companies will try to hide this sort of thing. So where do you even start when you're trying to figure out some of the claims that you see around the place?
We're really overwhelmed by buzzwords, by labels. So it's hard to figure out what's real. At AMP, we try and keep it simple. So we try not to use so much jargon. We'll find there are times that we do need to be specific. So there's going to be some technical language. But when we can, we try and make things as simple as possible. An example being the term ESG, which gets thrown around a lot. And so that just stands for environmental, social and governance. So key factors in addressing a company's impact, what they're doing, what they say they're doing. And it can kind of help measure how sustainable a company really is.
So when you start diving into ESG, so as you say, environmental, social, governance, are there standard measures across this, or is this just a way to sort of categorize what you're looking at?
Exactly, the second one. So there's no real standardization of ESG just yet, but we can look at scores and some of the indicators underlying those scores to tell us what exactly a company is doing. So when it comes to the E, it could be things like carbon emissions, it could be water pollution. Social can be things like the gender pay gap, the ratio, how much a CEO is paid compared to the average worker. And then governance is really talking about things at the board level. How are decisions being made? Are they considering sustainability at the board level?
Where do you go to get that sort of information?
For the individual investor, it can be hard. So at AMP, we're paying a lot of money to get some access to some really good data, data that's up to date, data that's reliable. And so for the average consumer, we are still looking to providers to tell us what they're doing. Something that can help are certifications. So REA, which stands for Responsible Investment Association Australasia. They're a non-government body, an independent verifier of funds, both in New Zealand and in Australia. They verify, a provider will have to show them their holdings. They have to prove that they are avoiding significant harm, So this will mean that they're excluding certain industries, certain types of activities, such as tobacco, such as certain fossil fuels. If you can see that a company or a fund is verified by RIA, that can go some way to showing you that, yes, this fund is doing something. They have these minimum standards in place.
Yeah, and this is the thing, right? I mean, I don't want to tell anyone how to ethically invest, but I do think a fund is a good shortcut for anyone who, and we're all extremely busy, is the problem. If you're going company by company trying to check all of these things, I mean, for one thing, it can change. You know, the CEO can change, other governance factors can change, other things in the company strategy can change. And so even if you've done your research one time, you have to keep an eye on it. But also, like you say, there are certifications for funds saying, yes, this fund invests in a bunch of things under this ethical agreement, and we've certified that they're actually doing it and they're doing it correctly, right? It's a shortcut, yes, but I think a helpful shortcut to stop yourself getting caught by analysis paralysis.
Exactly. I think we all need a shortcut to these things.
What are some other green flags to look for? If you're sort of looking for nice little shortcuts like these certifications, what are some green flags of good signs that this is on the right path?
Yeah. So first of all, check whether this provider has some kind of sustainability statement, a philosophy, a strategy, that they're talking about this in the first place. And then from there, you can see, are they providing their holdings? Are they showing you what's in their funds? Are they being clear about what's allowed to be in their funds? So what exclusions do they have? What are they keeping out? And are they investing in anything, in any kind of green sort of solutions?
Yes, because that's the trick, right? It's not just what you don't invest in. It's also what you do invest in. And I think that's another thing that can catch people out when they're trying to invest ethically. We've all got different ethics, for starters. We might have different things we're trying to prioritize. But then it's not just saying, okay, I'm not investing in tobacco. I'm not investing in gambling. Maybe you want to invest in wind farms, solar, whatever, right? There's different strategies when you're investing ethically.
Yes.
What sort of strategy do you go for?
So at AMP, we've actually got a global climate fund, which is specifically investing in projects that are going to deliver long-term strategic change, structural change, to help with mitigating the impact of climate change. And so we're expecting that this is going to grow to $400 to $500 million over the next few years and could potentially become the largest climate impact fund of its kind in New Zealand. And so we're really hoping that this is going to go a long way to helping New Zealand with our goals.
Wealth manager and KiwiSaver provider AMP puts its values, well-being, sustainability, and aspiration at the heart of everything they do. They believe in more than just protecting the environment. They're committed to building a thriving community and a sustainable future. AMP's investment philosophy focuses on sustainable, long-term growth, helping Kiwis achieve financial security. With a low-cost, diversified approach, they're making sure your investments perform well while supporting a healthier planet. Discover how AMP is making a difference for you and future generations. Visit amp.co.nz today.
Life is full of ups and downs, so no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I can guarantee when I put things on social media about ethical investing that people get, I would say it's a certain vocal minority. It's definitely not the majority of comments, but there are a certain amount of comments that are very angsty about the fact that all they want for their investments is for them to perform well and to make a lot of money. And I get that. At the end of the day, we're here to make money. Personally, I actually don't think you have to choose. Personally, I think there are a lot of ethical funds that make as much, some more, than standard investments. But when you're looking at, you know, climate funds, what is the risk when it comes to climate change impacts for your money? Why would you bother having that as an investment guideline?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that there are a lot of industries, there are a lot of activities that aren't going to be continuing the way that they have been. So the fossil fuel industry, I think it's, we can see that it's not making the money that it used to. And there's going to be a point where we can't continue, right? So I think it is actually a way to protect your money is to invest smartly around the issue of climate change. So, investing in some of these areas that we know are going to continue to grow, like you mentioned, solar, wind, or renewable energy. I think it's pretty clear that this is the way to go in the future.
We've even got like the climate related disclosures, right? That is quite new in New Zealand. This year was the first year we had some reporting around it. And I think I've talked to the regulators about it at various times, and they're very clearly starting off, at least at the beginning, with a bit of a, almost a bit of a hand-holding exercise, because everyone's struggling to get sort of the new reporting requirements. It is quite a lot. And so they're taking more of a, let's all guide each other through this rather than smacking people around the head with regulations. So that's good. But yeah, we are for the first time putting into financial reports some of the climate impacts. And there's moves overseas for similar schemes. This is something that's increasingly being reported on. So we are going to see these things impacting companies' bottom lines as investors get this information handed to them and maybe make decisions on it, right? Does all of that help in your job? Or is that something where we can still see a little bit of fudging the numbers, a little bit of greenwashing? Does anything happen there?
I think that it's definitely pretty safe from greenwashing. It's something that executives, that boards are taking really seriously, directors are taking seriously, and especially because there is actually a potential for legal ramifications if you get it wrong for a director. They have to sign their name on it. They have to sign it to say, this is true to the best of my knowledge. We're doing our best here.
How does it help in terms of the rest of your job? You know, the sort of information that you're getting, and like I say, it's early days and we might see different industries report slightly differently as they figure out these new regulations. But when you're getting in the financial reports, more of these climate related disclosures, what do you get to look at there and how does it change the investing decision?
So it definitely is bringing some more consistency to the market, which then can give more confidence to investors. When you have comparable information, metrics that are the same across different providers, different funds, and you can actually compare these things. I mean, it's still early days. And so I think there's definitely some maturing to go. You know, it's still down to the providers to make sure that they're making this information easily accessible for the average investor, right? I mean, these disclosures can get pretty long and they're pretty technical, pretty detailed. So I think for the average person, it maybe isn't going to mean all that much. I think it's still going to be down to the providers to make sure that they're giving this information in a way that people can actually access and understand.
That is the trick, isn't it? This will be a little bit of a personal opinion, so just say as much as you're comfortable with, but do you have any thoughts on how we might continue to see the information evolve? Anything that you think might be refined a little? Maybe they might start including some things or not including some things they've been looking at. How do you see it going in the next few years?
Yeah, I mean, at the current stage, it's definitely about looking at the risks and opportunities that are associated with climate change. It's looking at the way that you're allocating capital in this area, and it's looking at your strategic planning over the short, medium, and long term. So I think a greater focus on this, on the strategy of a business and how not only they're mitigating their own risks and opportunities, but how they're actually acting in line with achieving some of the goals that, I mean, as a country, New Zealand has committed to, but also a lot of companies have committed to.
Yeah. And I think as well, we were talking earlier about some of the green flags when we're trying to figure out this information. There must be red flags as well, right? Like we've got the climate-related disclosures, we've got all this extra information coming through as well. But do you see red flags, whether it's in those disclosures or elsewhere? Are there things that if people see that crop up when they're scoping out a company or a fund or whatever, they should say, ooh, that's not great?
I think if you're seeing language that seems vague, If you can read something and you have to kind of guess where they're getting at, you know, you're not exactly sure. So something like you will see a lot, companies exclude fossil fuels, but that's very rarely going to mean that they've got zero fossil fuels at all in their investments. There is going to be probably some natural gas. There's going to be things that are transmitted, so transmission systems. And so making sure that you are seeing exactly what they're talking about, whether there's a threshold, whether they allow a certain percentage of revenue from a company. If you just see the blanket statement, we don't invest in fossil fuels, without any further information, I'd say that's probably a red flag.
Interesting. I do feel like as well, with some of this greenwashing stuff, they almost overusing a word here, but it's almost a little gaslighty, where they will try to make you feel like you're the silly one for not understanding. You know, they might use a really vague term and then be like, what do you mean you don't understand? We just said right there. You know, and it's, I think trust your gut is another one, right? Where if you're reading this, you're thinking that doesn't feel right, or I don't fully understand what they mean. That, yeah, maybe you don't understand, or more likely to my mind, maybe they're deliberately being a bit fudgy and deliberately being vague and hoping that you feel too silly to answer questions. Is that, do you think that's unfair, or is that, I feel like that's a red flag.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. What I would also say though, I think a lot of the time when companies are greenwashing, I mean, a lot of the time I think they are intentional, but I think a lot of the time actually they're not doing it intentionally. Sometimes I think there can be a mismatch between some of the people at the company, some of the experts in the sort of sustainability or the investment side and kind of the marketing side, where, you know, there's the same goal, but a different understanding of these things. So you might hear, you know, in the marketing terms, you might hear some more aspirational kind of language, where, you know, from my side, I never want to be using that kind of language, because to me, that's, you know, that's going to mislead people. And so I think there's an element of needing to kind of get that communication going at the company level, and making sure that everyone's kind of on the same page with what we're trying to say.
That's actually a really good point, because I do know that a lot of people in the financial industry in general often actually really want to connect with customers, with clients, and have a good chat about things. But it can be like you're literally speaking two different languages. We're speaking English when we're talking about finance, but there's so much jargon. Even now, as I've been working in this industry for too long, I constantly catch myself letting little bits of jargon slip in. This is kind of why I also like hanging out on Instagram and TikTok, because it reminds me what people actually understand with different words. It's a really good bringing me back down to earth of not getting caught up in industry speak. It must be really hard trying to, when you're in such a technical area, trying to make sure that you're not leaping into that. Technically, we're speaking English, but actually we're talking a different language here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely hard. I definitely forget all the time what I'm saying, whether people are going to know what I'm talking about or not.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on here today, because you did a great job of putting that into plain language for us. So thank you so much. That's Kate Brownsey from AMP giving us the inside word on greenwashing. Now, I was actually just saying to Kate before we got started on this recording, there is so much in this topic that we could cover. We could do 3 or 4 episodes on this, frankly. So if you have more questions on this, anything else to do with money, do send them through. We can bring Kate back for another episode if you want us to dive into a certain area in a bit more detail. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Frances Cook NZ. Also, heaps more money content on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so you get even more tips and tricks with your money. And until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.